You know, with so many different media platforms available to us, with information and news all reporting worldwide on different angles and points of view, it can often seem somewhat confusing to us as to actually know what to believe. And with the threat of the coronavirus spreading worldwide and all the fears that have been in association with the spreading of this virus, and precaution is the utmost of our thoughts, isn't it great to be able to come into church this morning and hear good news? The good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And Jesus defined this good news in good old John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Some translations have begotten son. Translate begotten son. That everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. I believe the King James Version also says everlasting life. I'm stuck in the King James Version on that verse. And amazingly, in this simple verse, in the context of this verse, contains the entire good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Because John 3:16 is supported upon God's eternal promise. And we know throughout the pages of Scripture, God's inspired word, the word of the Lord, Scripture contains thousands upon thousands of God-based promises. And God establishes and he put forth his promises to define the way you and I in a faith relationship are to align our lives with God. God's promises are like signposts along the journey of the road of life for us to follow. And when we come in contact with God's promises, he lays them out before us so that we can claim them for ourselves in faith. God meets us where we are in his eternal promises. And God's promises are abiding truth. And it makes a huge difference how we choose to live our lives aligning with God's promises. It makes a big difference how we vow in our faith relationship to our Lord and Savior through the covenant relationship that we enter into, the promises that we make back to God through our baptism and confirmation, and hopefully every day of our life. And it's important that God sets forth his promises and waits for us to respond to them, but God always keeps up his end of the promise to us. Where we may at times fail to keep up our end of the promise to God. And our sometimes sin that we commit. Or even living in our fears instead of faith. Being led by our fears. We can align our faith into God's promise. And John 3:16 is one such promise of good news. And Jesus even turns it up a notch to another promise, the following verse. And both verse 16 and 17 have to be read together. As verse 17, Jesus offers us, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Saved through him. So how do we live our lives? Knowing and believing and trusting in God's promises, especially in John 3:16. I think a great example of how we can follow this in faith is outlined in our gospel reading this morning. this exchange between Nicodemus, a Pharisee of the Jewish law, and Jesus. And there are three things out of this particular reading that I want us to observe for ourselves. And the first is, it's important to know, in the story, in the narrative, Nicodemus came to Jesus under the cover of darkness, which symbolized his unbelief. He was sort of playing it safe. Nicodemus was trying to come to Jesus out of an expression of fear instead of faith. And he began sort of by offering Jesus some words of flattery. He didn't know what else to say. And we all know flattery will get you everywhere except with Jesus, right? So he said in verse 2, he called Jesus, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs, these miracles that you do, apart from the presence of God." Nicodemus had eyewitnessed Jesus performing miracles before this encounter, but he still wasn't sure in his fear if he could believe in Jesus as the Son of God. And you know, the same can happen to us. And I think one of the great treasures of our Anglican tradition are the rich words that we profess in our worship to God, in the words of our liturgy from our Book of Common Prayer, and the words, the same words that appear on the screen. And I believe we should honor God with the utmost of our ability in the best language we can express possible. We should give God our best. But if our praise to God, if it's just in mere eloquent words and not rooted from a heart of faith, surrendering our hearts to God in Jesus, then we've missed what coming into the light of Christ is truly all about. Because none of us can come to know and accept Jesus in darkness, because Jesus is the light of the world. And from Psalms chapter 36, verse 9, Psalms 36, 9, the psalmist writes, "For you, Lord, are the fountain of life, the light by which we see." You know, how many of you have been caught perhaps with time change or in the dark trying to maybe dig something out of your car somewhere, or maybe just recently or in the past, and you couldn't see, you couldn't get into your car, or you're outside for whatever it was, and you pulled out your trusty phone and you hit that flashlight button, and voila, isn't technology wonderful? It's wonderful when we can see. The same goes for our faith. And not just in a physical sense. It makes a huge difference when we allow our hearts to physically see Jesus before us in spiritual dimensions, time and time again. When we activate our faith and open our hearts to Him. Because Jesus knows who we are. And when we open our hearts to Him, we're able to connect with Him in this eternal promise of our ongoing relationship with Him. And Jesus connects with us. Surrendering and opening our hearts with eyes of faith, of a heart enlightened. And that's the first thing, is to come to Jesus just as we are, with an open heart. Secondly, Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 3, "No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Other translations state this verse, "being born again." King James Version, okay? being born again. And Nicodemus, he begins to question Jesus about this birth, thinking only in physical terms. Is this good news or is it fake news? And Jesus clarifies this in verses 5 and 6. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit." Now, each of us were birthed and born into this world through our parents, right? I mean, are there any test tube lab people here? I mean, I know A&M is doing an experiment on livestock, but I don't know where we are with that now. But from conception to delivery, we personally could not make our own birth happen on our own, right? I mean, instead, we just kind of sat for months in our mother's womb and allowed the miracle of life to take place beyond our capacity to make it all happen. And when we did become born into this world, we did not labor at all. Our mothers labored, correct? So at our actual birth, we just simply came out of darkness into the light of this world. What is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the spirit is spirit. And Jesus said the third thing that we need to know. It's in verse 8. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. For us to be born above by water and the Spirit means that we cannot achieve our salvation simply by our own efforts. We cannot labor to achieve our salvation. We can't make ourselves good enough. We can know the Bible from cover to cover. We can attend church every Sunday, but we cannot achieve our salvation simply by our own works, our labor, because salvation is a gift from God. And Jesus labored on the cross for each of us. And Nicodemus, as a teacher of the law, he did not think he needed to surrender his heart in order to accept God's gift of salvation in Jesus, accepting Jesus as his Savior. He was curious about Jesus. I'm sure thought Jesus was a really nice guy, but he had not surrendered his life over to him. And to do so, when we surrender our hearts to Jesus, that's when we become spiritually reborn again. Amen. And it happens through our faith. Amen. We cannot deliver ourselves from the power that sin has over our life, no matter how hard we try. We cannot live through our fears if we do not put the one forward who gives us faith in him for salvation. And if we think we can do this on our own, we're simply living in darkness. But to choose to live in the light of Christ and to see and to believe in him with a heart of enlightened faith means that we just have to let go of everything and surrender everything, including ourselves, over to him and allow Jesus to shed God's light on all the darkened areas especially of our fears, where we can rise above in faith and to understand the magnitude of the power of God's eternal promise of love and acceptance and grace. And you know, it's been one of my circled prayers throughout this season of Lent, as we read as a congregation and reflect together from the book by Mark Batterson, Draw the Circle, the 40-day prayer challenge, that by doing so, we in faith draw closer to God through our prayers. And that we write in our journals and express our ideas and thoughts and concerns and circle our prayers to our Savior in our prayer journals. And if you need one, I think we still have a few left we can pass out. And that we meet together in small groups for encouragement and support. Catherine and I had our small group. We meet on Wednesday nights here at the church, and we had so many we had to divide in multiple groups. And afterwards, someone came up to me and said, "Gosh, I feel like I've been to therapy now." And I said, "Yeah, that makes sense. You know, we have physical therapy, occupational therapy, and this is spiritual therapy for our souls together, to encourage one another in our faith walk to the light of God's promises." And I pray that each of us will receive a new birth, a revival in Jesus throughout this Lenten process, not only for our own individual lives, but for our church as well, for everyone in our church, that we come to a place of spiritual complete surrender to our Lord, which is nothing but good news. So that everyone who believes in Jesus may not perish, but will have eternal life. This is God's promise. And God always holds up God's promises. So what do you need to surrender in your life today to Jesus? What do you need to circle in your prayer journal of surrender to Him? What are the darkened areas of your life that you need His light to shine on through? Believe and trust in God's promise, and be saved in the light of God's love. Amen.